Blog Talk Radio.
Let me see. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? All right, here we go. All right, so my audio is now back on, and we should be back in business. So let me just go back and once again just introduce myself. My name is Brother Robert Pop Hudson, and we're live on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm also simulcasting on Facebook Live. And my apologies for the audio problem. But we're back, seem to be back in business. And thanks, Lionel, for helping me out and letting me know that my audio was not on. Okay, so let's get back to where we're going. And so let's slow down again and repeat. So we're going to be going over Matthew 26, and we're going to be going over verse 26 through 28. And I'll wait for you to catch up. And while we're doing that, basically, you know, we're going over, you know, the title of tonight's show, which is My Father's Blood. And going over this topic, I'm basically going to broach a question. Is everyone's, you know, is God everyone's father? And we're going to get to the answer as we start going through some of the scriptures. And we're also going to be going over Luke chapter 11 verses 1 through 4, and we'll get our answers from there. But, you know, right now, I was talking earlier about my oldest daughter and her needing a blood transfusion, and how in the process of her needing a blood transfusion that she was asking the doctors to, you know, for me to give her the blood, and they told her no. And when they told her no, you know, she became, you know, frightened because she never had a transfusion before, and she was very young, and she had to get an operation called a DNC. And through there, you know, things, you know, her health would improve. So once that happened, everything worked out. You know, I was curious because it always seems when children are frightened, you know, they seek to find answers, you know, through their parents. And, you know, fortunately, you know, everything works out. And in a time of fear, you know, children do call out for their parents. And with that being said, let's just go ahead and we're going to get back into the scripture of where we want to read. And so we're going to go into Matthew 26, verses 26, and we're going to start there. And they were eating. Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And they took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." And that's, you know, that in itself is very powerful, because when you get a chance to hear that this is a new basically it's a new covenant. The old covenant had many different rules, many different things, and basically you would have to sacrifice unblemished animals. And sometimes it could have been a dove, it could have been a goat. And the whole thing was you had to slaughter that animal on an altar. Well, what Jesus said was, we're going to do away with the old covenant, and this is the new covenant. And with the new covenant, you know, this is something that, you know, that we're going to do now instead of doing it the old way, which is the old way was, you know, the slaughter of animals. Many animals got slaughtered, and it was basically for for the original sin of Adam and Eve. And, you know, through that slaughter, you know, they have done away with the old covenant, and now they have a new covenant. So he's letting them know, like, right now, because this is the new covenant. And I don't know if anybody has ever killed an animal or slaughtered an animal. You know, I haven't slaughtered an animal before, although I did choke a chicken before. Let me just—that's a joke. All right. So with that being said, so now he's letting everybody know that, you know, we have a new covenant. And with the new covenant, he's basically letting everyone know that this is a new way of doing things. And basically, he set forth the first communion. There, I'm getting into the topic of, you know, is God everyone's father? And so we're going to go into Luke chapter 1 through 4. if you can, if not, I'm just going to go ahead and read along. Okay, and so it says in verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that has indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so this is where Jesus basically taught him, you know, how to pray. When you say, Our Father, can you truly say in our prayers, Our Father? Is it true that any of us can utter the word, My Heavenly Father? But is it also true that everyone can actually claim God as his or her father? Do we belong basically to God? You know, some people speak of God as our father, suggesting that all people are children of God. The belief of the fatherhood and God being our father is that what basically some particular religions believe. But there's some so-called Christian churches as well as non-Christian religions as well that think that he's basically our universal father. You know, the so-called Christian churches that, you know, endorse the universal fatherhood of God hold the, you know, basically the position that rejects any and all of the Bible as the word of God. And it's basically denying the supernatural miracles of the Bible and the miracles of the works of Christ. While they magnify the universal brotherhood of man, which is an emphasis on, you know, the social gospel as opposed to the New Testament, you know, and the need for its evangelism. So, you know, everybody loves, you know, to hear, you know, we are all brothers. We love one another. We shake everybody's hands. We be kind to one another. And everything is going to be all right. But, you know, if you're a true child of Christ, you know, God is truly not our Heavenly Father. Everything is not going to be all right. And the only way possible for us to take this and understand it and understand that how he can be our Father is receiving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. You know, we can have religion here in this life and play the religious role. But when it's time for us to leave, you know, this world, you know, we had better be born again, children of Christ, because there will be no taking back any of the things or any false beliefs that we have or anything that we believe to be true and took it as true. And then when it's time for us to go, it's going to be too late. There are many religions, but only one way of salvation, you know, and, you know, God's relationship to all mankind is affirmed in Acts 17 as mankind's creator. And so we're going to go to Acts 17, verses 24 and 29. And we're going to start on 24. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that the Lord, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and have made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell in all the face of earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if they haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poet has said, for we also his offspring. And so basically, you know, referencing what's going on, God has made man to his own likeness, as been recorded in Genesis. Okay, and so we're going to go right on to verse 29. For as much then as we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art of man's device. And in the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now command of all men everywhere to repent. So therefore, now we got a little key here of, you know, what it means. And what it means is he says basically, you know, you're my child. But any one of my children, they will repent. They will not continue living in a sin, but they will repent. And so we can go into real quickly. I'm going to flip over to Romans chapter 8, verses 8. And so then that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we go into verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So there's your answer. There's your answer right there. It says it right there. And, you know, it is nothing anybody can say or do or twist it. It's plain and simple. That's the word. That is the word. And I know a lot of people go jump back and forth from scripture to scripture and to meet, you know, what the meaning of what they think things are. But right there, it's plain and simple. I'll read it again. And it's in Romans chapter 8 and 9. And I'm going to start at 8. I mean, start at 8 and I'm going on. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that means, basically, if you're thinking of worldly things, if you're placing idols before him, if you're, you know, if you're in this, when I say in this world, I'm talking about the lifestyle that people have, the particular lifestyle they have, and how they go about life and what they do, and how they you know, they're not thinking about pleasing God, because they're in the flesh. And so we're going to go on to verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So what God is saying, he's just saying to us plain and simple. He says, hey, listen, I'm just going to tell you straightforward. If you come into me in the flesh, you're not my child. If you're coming to me with worldly possessions, you walking around with a big fat gold chain and all kinds of jewelry on your finger and, you know, all kinds of different things, God says, you're not my child. You're not a child of mine. If you, you know, so if you really want to be a child of his, so you have to make sure that you come to him in the spirit. You have to come to him in the spirit. It's plain and simple. Okay, and we're going to go through real quickly. I'm going to go through one more verse, and it's going to be, well, actually, I'm going to do a couple more. But for right now, I'm going to do Isaiah 44:2. Thus said the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. And so I'm just going to tell you about a story that I heard. And it seems, you know, plain and simple. And it's from a little girl, basically crawled up, you know, into her great-grandmother's lap. And she looked into her, and she studied her grandmother, and she was just looking at her. And she saw all, you know, all the wrinkles and the lines in her face. And then, you know, she felt her own face, and she felt her face, and it was smooth and, you know, clear. And so she said to her grandmother, did God make you? And her grandmother said, yes, God made me. Then the little girl said, well, did God make me? And her grandmother says, oh, yes, God made you too. And then the little girl said, well, grandma, great grandma, do you think God's doing a better job now this time? And she looked at her, and of course, you know, children speak, you know, so true from their heart. And it touched her grandmother because everyone wants, you know, their grandchildren, their children to grow wise. And when that little girl said that, you know, she put a smile to her grandmother's face. Okay, and real quickly, just to let you know that we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Anytime you want to call into a show like this one here, you want to call into the live show, you can call in the phone number 319-527-6091 and press the number 1, and we can get you in to talk if you would like. All right? And so we're getting back to the program. So I'm going to cover Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are the works of his hands. So in Job 34:19, for all they are the works of his hands. So we know who created us. You know, and this is a subject that a lot of guys probably hate for me to mention. But, you know, some guys, they walk away from fatherhood. They don't claim fatherhood. Some people knowingly impregnated women, and, you know, they play the game of, that's not mine, or I need a blood test, you know. And that's where, you know, where fatherhood and claiming, you know, a father claiming his child, whether it's his or not, that's the responsibility of the person, whether it's his or not. You know, we all have, you know, certain responsibilities and certain things, a code of conduct, if you will, you know, that we should, you know, hold ourselves up to. And yes, fathers, you know, some fathers or some people do not hold themselves up to that standard of where impregnated her. I don't have to make sure she proves without a reasonable doubt that I'm the father. And that happens a lot. Okay, so I'm going to go into Acts verses 17. I'm going to, Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to go to verse 28. And it says, tell us that God is our sustainer, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is the original fountain of life, and he upholds us each passing moment. And so I'm going to go into Romans chapter 11, verses 36. For him and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then we're going to go into Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and by him all consist. While God is independent of our existence, if God should cease to exist, so would everything else. All life would be, you know, there would be nothing. All that exists only does so because God wills it to exist. Should God stop willing the existence of everything or anything, that existence would instantly end. And so I'm going to go into Acts, back into Acts again real quick. And it's going to be Acts chapter 17 once again, but this is going to be verses 30 and 31. And basically tells us that God has appointed Jesus Christ to be judge of all mankind. And so we go to verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now command of all men everywhere to repent. And in verse 31, because he have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained. If the man is a product of an evolutionary process, then man is not morally accountable to God. If, however, God directly created man, then man is accountable to God and also created that he might walk in holiness. For fellowship, you know, for basically for fellowship with God. So Acts 17 does not affirm God as father of all mankind. The word father is not used in Acts chapter 17, verse 29. It says, for so much then as we are offspring of God, and so the passage does not affirm anything concerning the relationship of God as father or as us being sons. The Bible teaches that God is not everyone's father. So basically, if you're listening to the word and you read the word and listen and we'll go to John chapter 8, verses 41 and 44. And 41 says, ye do the deed of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, God. In 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I have proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. In 44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus made it clear that everyone was a child of God. He taught that the natural man is a child of Satan. You hear what I'm saying? So listen to the words that came forth from John. And we're going to talk about 1 John chapter 3:10. And so in 10 it says, and this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And so we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And starting at 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat love him, also that is begotten of him. 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. That's very important. You know, we all say, oh, we love God. And, you know, God, please bless us. God, you know, and they say, you know, oh, I'll do anything for God. He wants you to do one thing. He said, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. So we're going to go on to 3. For this is the love of God, and that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory and overcometh the world, even our faith. And 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that's very powerful. And once again, it's simple and plain. It's very simple and plain. What he wants you to do is to keep the commandments and believe in them. And also, you know, it said it real quickly, but it says, for, and this is in verse, was in verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it's basically saying those that faithful stand, you know, they'll stand forth and they'll withstand over, you know, they overcome the storms that come their way. They overcome the aggravation and the grief that's going to come along with, you know, being faithful, keeping the faith. And, you know, it's very clear that, you know, as we take our walk in Christ and as we start growing, that we know that it's going to be difficulties. It's going to be a storm coming, and we just got to be ready to weather it. And so, you know, basically, from that chapter in John makes it a clear distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil. He declares that the difference, you know, lies in the relationship that each of us has with Jesus Christ. Those with Christ as Lord and Savior have God as a Father. It's read out there in the open, simple and plain. And, you know, Paul is an apostle that I like because of his conversion. And basically, Paul has written, you know, many books in the Bible, and particularly in Romans. And so I'm going to go to Romans real quick, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. And verses 14, for as many as were led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. And then in 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Paul states that when anyone accepts Christ into his heart and life through the operation of the Holy Spirit, he or she is adopted into the family of God and can also then call God Father. And you know, therefore pray, our Father who art in heaven. You got that? Did you catch that? So, yes, you can say our Father who art in heaven. Yes, so you have the right to say that. You have the right to claim him as a Father. You hear me? You have a right. You have that right to claim him as a Father. Okay, so I'm just going to just quickly wrap everything up tonight, and just let you know that, you know, hey, tonight has been it's been fun. I had fun doing this tonight, and you know, really to wrap things up, you know. If you don't have that spirit of adoption of where you accept Christ in your life, you know, you're not going to be anything but an orphan, because the spirit of Christ is basically God is willing to adopt each and every one of us. If you accept it, if you keep the commandment, if you stay faithful, yes, God will be your Father. God will be your Father who art in heaven. And so the next time you say that prayer, when it says, our Father who art in heaven, just remember, yes, you are God's child. And God is your Father. And so I'm going to go into the call of salvation. And I know that I've been talking about the spirit of adoption claim to something for ourselves, which is our salvation. And I know for some people it's a hard step, and for some it's an easy step. And I know there's people that have taken that step and have backslidden and need to take that step again to create that bond with our Heavenly Father. And, you know, and the first way to do this is just to accept him into your heart and acknowledge what our Heavenly Father done for us. And that was the sacrificed his only begotten son on the cross to die for our sins. And once he did that, he gave us a gift. And it was the gift of everlasting, to claim an everlasting life through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you truly believe in him, and you believe that he laid his life down for our salvation, and you say, I believe, you're saved. You're saved. That's all you have to do is accept and confess. And confess your sins. And Father, I am a sinner. I wish to renounce my ways. I wish to change my life and for you to transform it. And for you to forever keep me in your faith. And once you said that, you know, you just say out loud to someone, I have accepted Jesus Christ in my life. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And once you've done that, you know, you're on your way. What you do is you find a Bible-believing, preaching sanctuary that anoints you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that sanctuary, you know, we're here right here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we're a church without walls. You can come here and you can just listen to us and you can just hear the ministries that we have here, the many ministries that we have here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, just rejoice because, you know, this is the best, this is the first day of the best day of the rest of your life. You've accepted Christ. Okay? And now I'm going to go into the announcement. And real quickly, this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's show, no matter where in the world you're listening to us. We greatly appreciate your listenership and your support. We greatly appreciate those that share with their friends and family members and let us know that Purpose Kingdom is on the air. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime we do a live show, you can call in that live show at 319-527-6091. And you can press the number one anytime you want to speak. Anytime you want to hear any of our past broadcasts, you can also go to www.blogtalk. You can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Also, we have a radio network, which is ptnradio.com. And you can go ahead there and you can listen to 24 hours of musical content. And from time to time, we rebroadcast some of our other shows. We're also on radioco.com. Right now, Radio Co. is down for the moment, but we will be back up. And you can listen to any of our further announcements about Radio Co. And we invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom at Facebook, so you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements and also any of our announcements. And we're also in LinkedIn, iTunes, and Google Plus, where you can hear some of our shows. You just simply go see the Purpose Kingdom Network icon, and you can like us, and that way you won't miss a show. Okay, and let's see. I think I have one more announcement, which is anytime you want to send us an email, you can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We greatly appreciate that. And any correspondence, we're happy to hear from you. So just let us know how we're doing or how you're doing. And we're thankful for that. And tomorrow evening, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, where we have on tomorrow evening's line of programming, I believe we have – I think it's Iron Sharpens Iron. Hold on, just give me a second. I can see if I can double check that information real quickly. So, okay, so yeah, this Sunday, I believe we have a study for life with Pastor Toy. Like I said, if the information I just gave you is incorrect, you can just check out us on Facebook and you can see our upcoming announcements and our show lineup. Okay? And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcement. And I'm going to end the program pretty soon. And like I said, I love doing this. I love just, you know, sharing with you here on Purpose Kingdom Network. And this platform is pretty amazing because we do have many different ministries, elders, and pastors here where, you know, you get to hear many different styles of preaching and teaching here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Can't imagine doing anything else this Saturday night but doing this here. And trust me, for me, it's fun, and it's been great. And as well as I hope it's been a learning experience with someone. And I hope that I could just help just one soul out there tonight. And if I did more, I feel blessed to having done so. All right? So with that being said, hey, listen, it's always a blast. I will be back in 2 weeks with God's will and God's blessing with another show. I just, like I said, hope that you take time to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you can't possibly love anyone else. So make sure you take time out to love yourself. And also, you know, be careful and take care of yourself. These are times where you have to get yourselves, and this concerns the coronavirus and, you know, now there's monkeypox, and I guess all kinds of poxes are out there. So just make sure you just be safe and be smart. And so with the love of God, you know, God bless you, and y'all have a great night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.